This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
From the WEEI studios, the destination for Boston sports fans. Boston sports fans. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Reemerging, a high drive in the left field. Back on it goes Refsnyder. It's at the wall, and it is gone. Lead-off homer. The Cubs strike again in the first inning. And it is 1-0 Chicago.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
It's the KJ Show, WEEI. Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! The Sox have lost two in a row. And at the start of the All-Star break, you were like, man, can they play tomorrow off the 10-game win streak? Now, with losing two games in a row, and that shot that Bayo gave up to start the game yesterday is not a very good indice of what may be to come. And I'll get into your trade stuff and everything here shortly. 617-779-7937. Thank you for starting your Sunday here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. To Bayo. Go back to last year where trying to figure some things out. And if you remember how the season had started, you were like, okay, maybe Bayo can eventually graduate to a one. Giolito went down before everything started. And Houck was this guy who was kind of on fire at this time last year. Anybody remember what happened at the start of this time last year? Last year, Houck started to fall apart. Bayo really couldn't catch his stuff. He really couldn't catch up. And now here we are, almost the exact same point last year. Last year, Red Sox 10 games over 500 at July 14th going into the All-Star break. Was 10 games under 500 for the rest of the season. Going into the All-Star break this year, 8 games over 500 at July 13th going into the All-Star break. And already have lost two in a row. And I ask, I wonder if Bayo is this year's Houck from last year. Like, here's why I say this guy is not ready for prime time when it comes to the playoffs. The Cubs knew something to go ahead and swing at the very first damn pitch and put it out. The intel is out. And if you have that happen in a playoff game, you see what happened with the bats. This is not a team that's built to bop and catch up. This is what teams are figuring out about the Red Sox. Crochet, you're not touching him. But if you can get to Bayo early, those bats will fall asleep. What with the Red Sox? Brian Frazoco, thank you so much for being here. It's a Sunday morning. I've got my Notorious B.I.G. shirt on, but I refuse to call him Notorious B.I.G. It's Biggie Smalls. But the Red Sox have had one extra base hit in two games. Ref Snyder, I think that's it. This is ridiculous. And it was interesting if you saw the national broadcast, John Lester joined on the show, and he was kind of giving the differences of the expectations of the fan bases between Boston and Chicago. I think he kind of took a little shot at Boston when he was talking about, like, you know, like, hey, in Chicago, they have a beer snake. And I don't do that at Fenway. It's kind of hard to do that with Truly's, is it not, Brian? Can you do a beer snake with these canned beers? Can
you have to bring, like, tape or something.
Yeah. I mean, and plus, you know, we're kind of a little bit of germaphobes. It's like, I don't know if we'd be doing that. We'll sit in the smallest seats in the world. But how dare you pass that cup that had your lips on it? But what Lester was saying on the broadcast, he was very, very spot on. I was like, he must listen to the KJ show. Every game here in New England almost gets analyzed as if it's a playoff game. And the reason why this is, and I would even say when Lester was here at that time as well, not so as much as it is now, is because management has not put on the field guys who you say, oh yeah, they'll just get it together, because we've seen the history of them getting it together. We haven't seen a history of Bayo getting his stuff together. I mean, it's kind of the consistent story. It's like, yeah, he's shown flashes, and then he flashed that last night. You're like, oh, man. Now you're like, KJ, he settled down and everything. But again, you have to think about, right now, this is most likely your number two guy, maybe your number three guy in a playoff game. And so imagine if the Red Sox are down 2-0 in a playoff series, and Bayo's out there for game three. And he throws that thing that he threw to Bush last night, and all of a sudden you're down 1-0, and there's only been thrown one pitch. I'm concerned that the rest of the team will not be able to provide the catch-up energy that they need. I mean, hell, by the top of the second, it was already 2-0 last night. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We got your text coming. We've also got some stuff we got to respond to. I mean, there was just an international story that happened here that's bigger than sports. I'll even touch upon that at some point in the show. I'll give you a heads up when that happens. But the Red Sox, it's not like they're about to face, they're not getting Colorado again. They're not getting, they got Colorado, Washington and Colorado back to back. Hey, that wasn't hard for me to say you need to sweep both of those series. Now you're wondering, like, if in this series they only win one out of three games, what does that look like, right? Because that's their only chance at this point. What happens if they go into the next series and only pull one out of three games or four games? You know, like, these are real concerns that you might have to have about these Red Sox, because you just don't know if these guys are ready for prime time at this point. And a lot of them are being put to the test. And I think that this was a situation where, you know, look, the Red Sox had to get last night's game. If you don't get a getaway game, it's like, okay, you got the middle game. It's one of your guys that you really want to be able to see that, okay, Bayo can kind of close that window. It's not like you can't start every series with Crochet. It wasn't his day, so Giolito shined well, but still not enough with the bats on Friday. You know, and now you're looking at, you know, trying to ward off a sweep this afternoon, which, of course, don't forget, first pitch here at 2:20 on WEEI, with the pregame at 1:20 here on WEEI. So, I mean, you got the Phillies, you got the Dodgers, and then by the time you get to the Twins, it's really kind of decision time, right? Because your trade deadline's coming up at the end of the month, and you would say, gosh, at the start of all this conversation where the Red Sox were just around 500, you're like, okay, they need a bat. Then you're like, all right, they need relief pitching. I was kind of on that bat and relief pitching thing. Then, of course, with Hunter Dobbins going down, you're like, okay, they definitely need starting pitching. Now I'm like, you don't need starting pitching. You need playoff, not scared of starting pitching. And that's where I wonder if this is a team that looks a lot like I don't want to put the curse of last year on them, like what happened last year, because they're still in the wild card hunt right now, right? Like, they're the last wild card. Tampa's right behind them. The way things are going, you know, there would be a tiebreaker against Tampa, and so that's good. But if we're talking about tiebreakers almost at this point, I'm telling you about a team that's kind of struggling to hang on. It's almost kind of like, all right, we're together because we still have like 48 months left to pay on the car notes. Like you know, like you're just hanging on for reasons that are beyond palatable. 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. Coming up, I'll also mention the comments from Jaylen Brown to Nola Dolezal. I don't want to say her name incorrectly because I don't want to be confused with the Dolezal check.
Dolezal.
Dolezal, right. I don't want to put an extra A in there. Nola Dolezal conversation. That's coming up here on the KJ Show before we get out of here at 10 o'clock. So, well, good. I guess the good thing is Roman Anthony still has his hit streak going, right? I really do hope that management does not leave these guys hanging, because if they get swept by the Cubs, you know what the conversation is going to sound like here on WEEI on Monday. Well, just in Boston in general, right? Is these guys are not ready for prime time. The Cubs are a playoff team. The Rockies are not. Washington is not. Truth is, Tampa has been struggling, right? You're kind of lucking out because the Yankees have been struggling. And so it's like, okay, you got hot against teams that you're supposed to beat, but then when you get in front of the teams that you're supposed to compete, if you're not either breaking a four-game series even or stealing one of these series, and maybe right now you're like, okay, if this isn't the series that they get it together, but they turn it around against the Phillies, great. But guess who's coming to dinner next Friday? That damn Mookie's back in town. And if the Dodgers end up embarrassing the Red Sox with Mookie there, and yes, for those who follow, I broke the Mookie seal in 10 minutes today. Now you can't, management can't sit still and wait for these other series to take place. So you almost have to figure like, all right, you need to probably go after another bat, go get a starting pitcher. I think probably right off, like, make calls to Kansas City today about Seth Lugo. Do not wait until some people are gone and then trying to get what's left, when really what we're seeing with some of these other guys are kind of what's left. Look, I don't want to knock Bayo. It may sound that way, but just for my eyes, there are only two of them. It's this narrative that we've had about these young pitchers. Once they get to a particular threshold in the season, they're starting to potentially wear down, or their stuff isn't fooling as much. Middle relief yesterday. I mean, it's just kind of like, just call the mercy rule. I'm sitting there watching the game last. I'm like, you know what? I actually watched all of this game and I could have turned it off after the first inning. I was a bit frustrated, right? Because you're like, the team, they all got together and, they came right back after All-Star break and they were ready to work out. Okay, these last two games look like they've skipped two leg days. And if I'm going to say, okay, if you get swept by the Cubs, and that's never a good thing to say if you get swept by ... but that's a real possibility. You've got to take two or three from the Phillies, and you've got to take two or three from the Dodgers to maintain and to establish, really to establish that you can beat the really good teams, right? Because the Cubs are going to be in the playoffs. Phillies are going to be in the playoffs. Dodgers, of course, I mean, they write their own ticket. No, by the time you get to the Twins, going off on the Twins, and let's say management has done nothing really or nothing of significance, you could be lulled into this kind of sense of security, like, okay, we're back at it. And then once you get into August, I mean, you've just got a brutal schedule. Astros, Padres, really, there are no days off. Like, they can't skip, they don't have any, they can't skip any leg days. By the time you get to another quality team of Washington status, maybe the Marlins, we're in the Orioles, we're in the middle of August. So you've got to get another frontline pitcher in here to behind Crochet, because now this team has to start thinking like, okay, you right now you're a playoff team. And if you get into a series where who's going to pitch game two for you? You already know who's pitching game one, but who's going to pitch game two for you? If you can get a better quality pitcher, a person who's on a team that, you know, like when that guy pitches, they get a win, they may lose the rest of the time. This is who you need to go get as your number two pitcher. Bayo, I think, last night to me, told me this guy is a three. I don't know if he'll ever be a two. I can't see him being a one, but he's a really good three. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your texts and calls next, plus more Red Sox talk. Right now it's time to trend with Brian Fazoco.
This is the KJ Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Go with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Trade rumors of being identified. That's a compliment. Is that been you're weird getting used to?
The trade stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun for me. I mean, July is awesome. I think everyone in the clubhouse gets excited just seeing where guys are going to go around the league. And you don't know. And I think that's exciting. And being someone that could get traded, it would be exciting. I mean, I do love Minnesota, and I love where I'm at. So it would be sad. Definitely hard to go. But at the end of the day, it's never up to me. And yeah.
KJ Show, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Thanks so much for being here. That's Brad Foe down at the All-Star Game talking to Joe Ryan, Minnesota Twins, about the potential of being traded. I'm sorry.
Yes!
Please!
Yes!
Get him here! But I'll get into here shortly why I just don't think that's a reality based on the reality on the ground here with the team. All right, let's get to some of your text messages. Brian, what you got?
All right, first text coming in today was a 508 text. It says, yeah. If the Red Sox make a run in the playoffs, do you think Cora moves upstairs and Craig Breslow leaves?
You know, I don't know if Breslow knew the blowback was going to be as intense here with the team, even though, you know, he was here for a second. He's familiar with the area. But it's almost like if he can get this turnaround quick and go somewhere where, you know, like he's at a higher, if he's at a Kennedy level, if you will. Yeah, I think so. I was a person that didn't think that Cora was going to be the one that would move upstairs. I was just kind of like, oh, Cora, are we going to do another Brad Stevens thing and think we're going to get the same results? You know, but I think if Breslow can get a chance to get out, then he can say, you know what? We got those guys moved up through the minors. They are now at the big league squad. I brought in a horse as a frontline pitcher. Like, Breslow's kind of done what he's needed to do quickly, which was the furthest thing this team was away from, which was being even playoff ready. I think that's just... So I think Breslow might leave, especially if this team makes a playoff run, when it wasn't expected to start the season.
I mentioned this a few weeks ago with Dan Ball following your show a few weeks ago.
Okay, best here, 1-2 show combination in America.
Absolutely. And somebody called in with the same question. And to me, it's sort of like, well, if ownership's not going to spend money, it doesn't really matter who's going to be kind of calling the shots in terms of the roster building, right? I mean, I think Craig Breslow did an overall pretty decent job. You mentioned Bregman, you mentioned Crochet, some of the guys he brought in.
Right.
But even if they just bump Cora upstairs, well, okay, now is John Henry still not going to spend? Because if he doesn't, then it doesn't really matter who's calling the shots.
Well, of course not. You think he's not, you know, come on, man. No, I'm not spending, Cora. You should know this, you know. That's not going to, you know, like, that's the other part of it is if you know how management operates. Like, I think the crazy thing about, well, this is the signing of, this is where they have the control. You know, we talk about this with pitchers and stuff like that, which I'll get to shortly. Because Cora is signed up for, you know, he got that extension. That extension is to be an employee, not necessarily just to be the manager. So I don't know if Cora says, oh, wow, Breslow's left and they want me upstairs and they're not going to spend and I'm going to leave. And I'd be like, yeah, right. He's going to be like,
enough is enough.
Nah, what are you going to spend? You know, so maybe Cora doesn't go upstairs if you know that the same thing's going to occur, because now Cora will then be that face of the new mediocrity when it comes to trying to turn this franchise around. And now you're like, okay, you're complicit in the same crimes you used to complain about.
I was going to say, this is like the same guy who's been complaining about the roster that he's been given the whole time. Now he's not going to be able to build a roster that he wants to do because of the lack of spending from ownership. I think he's going to be even more pissed.
Man, you got to give it to this FSG ownership, man. Diabolical as hell. You know? Wouldn't it be funny you bring Cora upstairs and then do the same exact thing that he's gone through as a manager and still do it right in his face? I mean, that's diabolical, but that's also a real possibility too. All right, more of your calls and texts still to come. 617-779-7937. Be careful. I may spontaneously bust into song this hour. That possibly could happen. Well, there needs to be some spontaneity combustion with this pitching staff for the Red Sox. And here's what's crazy with what we're talking about, these two losses in a row. Look, Giolito didn't look horrible. It's just that the bats didn't show up in game one. The bats didn't show up in game two. However, Bayo got knocked early. And then you're like, okay, we kind of got to roll with this guy for a little bit. But in a playoff situation, you know, if a guy gets knocked at the bottom of the first inning and it's 2-0, and let's say you're down 2-0 in the series, you're not cranking up the bullpen? And then you're thinking like, damn, we're cranking up the bullpen? Who's out there? So clearly, I think the consensus that everybody's on, more so than anything now, than say 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, is that the Red Sox have to go get starting pitching. I'd probably put bullpen right behind it after I was reminded last night this bullpen can not only leak oil, but blow gaskets. So I'm going to throw some names out here, Brian. You tell me yeah or nay or whatever, and I'll tell you my thoughts behind that. So Zach Gallen's name for Arizona is really starting to percolate now. My thing is that, look, he's going to be a rental, so you're not going to be able to get any return. Whatever you give up, you won't really get back. A high price, you're going to have to give up something. I just think it's too rich.
He hasn't had a great year by his standards also. His ERA is the highest it's been in his entire career.
I don't look at any of that right now, right? Because it's a change of spirit. Like, we're really talking about guys that are on bad teams. So guess what? The ERA is going to be high for everybody, right? You've been getting rocked. I think it's one of those situations like, hey, if I'm... Because I think probably like a bigger team than the Red Sox are probably going to get Zach Gallen. I just need Zach Gallen for right now. I don't need him for the rest of my life. I think who the Red Sox need to go get is going to be someone they're going to be spending time. Merrill Kelly falls in the same boat as well with Arizona. He would be a rental as well. These rentals, like I said, I can't do the rental if we're talking about a person who's going to potentially be the number two person in this rotation for real. You're not on Merrickell either. Huh?
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. Like, yeah, like I'd take it. Again, tell me what you're giving up for him.
Yeah, but, right.
Like,
so
to me, if you mentioned it earlier, Bayo's probably not a two. I want a bona fide number two pitcher that you can roll out after Crochet every day and feel confident that you're going to get six, maybe even seven innings of solid pitching. Neither of those guys really do it for me.
That's exactly right. So really, you want to go get a number one for one of these bad teams and at least have them be a two. Or one of these twos from a team that is unexpectedly bad this year and never really went and got somebody. This is where we get to Seth Lugo.
Yes!
Seth Lugo.
Yes!
Seth Lugo.
Yes!
Look, solid guy, veteran, depth. Probably you can get extended on some years at the end of the season where you're like, hey, if we could get this guy in for a couple more years, it's not going to cost you a haul. And you have a guy who's going to know their role and do it very well. Do I get another yes on Seth Lugo?
I'm in on Lugo, yeah.
Yes!
Wait, come on, man. You get me more a little awake about that, bro. You're like, yeah, I'm on him.
Sorry, I was grabbing audio for something. I had to run
over. Oh, there you go. Okay, there you go. I'm sorry.
No, I'd be all in on Seth Lugo. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
And he's having a great year, too.
Right, and with a team that's going nowhere, with Kansas City.
Well,
right?
That was my point with Zach Allen, right? Like, he had a bad ERA. Okay, yes, he's not playing on a great team, but if you're a really good pitcher, I'm sorry, your ERA should still be down. Even if you're on a bad team, I look at a guy, and I know this is sort of the gold standard, right? But Paul Skeens, right? He has a ridiculous ERA. His team blows, but he has a great ERA. To me, that's a sign of a good pitcher. You saw it with Crochet in Chicago, you know, in the over last season. He wasn't getting wins. His team blew, epically blew, but he still kept his ERA down.
Wait. So this is the other side of that is some guys I think just want to be gone, right? Like I think Seth Lugo is the guy who's like, you know what? He's going to be the face of Kansas City. They're going to be the ones that do the Quick Trip commercials around him if you've ever lived out in the Midwest. You know, he's that guy, but you're like, you know, hey, this team isn't going anywhere, but thanks for the couple years of memories of being a high-quality guy. Where with Arizona, remember, they spent for Galen and they spent for Montgomery and for Kelly. So, you know, like Jordan Montgomery is there in Arizona. So, you know, like, or, yeah. Or did he? No, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Arizona. I'm thinking, like, I was like, no, isn't he? But his family's in from San Francisco. I knew San Francisco figured in there. Here's one that I didn't think of, but I think is a real possibility and would be pretty smart, and that's Charlie Morton down in Baltimore. Veteran, playoff ready, those years in Atlanta, knows the AL, is in it now. Baltimore, I think, has made a huge, huge mistake. The fan base is the owner. The new ownership is like, what are you doing? We were on a roll. You didn't keep your guy. Oh, gosh, I can't think of his name right now. But, you know, Corbin Burns, they didn't keep him. The team is bad. They're not investing. They're now looking to sell off pieces. I know Cedric Mullins' name is out there as well. I'll get into the bat, is Ryan O'Hearn as well. So you've got a situation there with the Royals, with the Orioles, where they're back to the old school Orioles that we've kind of known over the last 15 years. So Charlie Morton may be someone that is very viable because the other guys with Galen, Kelly, you're asking guys to come from different leagues. And while you say it doesn't matter with interleague play, it does still kind of matter because if you haven't, you know, pitched regularly in Yankee Stadium, you wouldn't know really what to do. Someone like Morton would, you know, or even making the adjustments to pitching to Tampa outside in a minor league stadium. You know, you've done your spring training ball there with Baltimore. So you know the lay of the land a little bit better if you're already in the division. Jose Soriano of the Angels. I don't know if the Angels are going to be giving up any pieces because they're not that far out of the wild card spot. And because they're not carrying like Trout and Otani's number, Rondon, I mean, does the guy still even play baseball? He's just sucking up money. But I think they may hold on to their pieces at the very last minute. So I think Soriano is one of those guys that may be made available towards the end of the trade deadline, where if I'm the Red Sox, I'm going like right after like Lugo or Morton right off top. I even want to probably have them get a start in before the trade deadline gets here. So I the Red Sox, when it comes to this, you know, what they get in the starting pitching realm in terms of they've got to be making those moves ASAP. Do not wait until some other things fall. And so I guess the other side of that coin is, because I guess maybe I'm thinking about the money that is in my pocket, all these other side of the coins, is like, what do you have to give up to get these? So keep in mind, you're going to get fleeced for if it's Zach Gallen. They're going to fleece you, right? They're going to probably say they either want Anthony, Mayer, Campbell, two of those, right? Campbell and either Mayer or Anthony.
How do you feel about giving up Christian Campbell right now?
It's something I would have to consider. And the reason why I say that is because Trevor Story is now providing, he's provided unbelievable defense, and that's just a huge contract. So where there was so much talk about, like, man, get rid of Story. And I'd always said it was going to be very hard to do because of his number. Now, because of his defense, and you can live with his number, you could probably stretch the Bregman situation out, negotiations all the way out, because you didn't expect Mayer to come up and be able to effectively, well, really, high quality play third. Okay. He's supposed to be your shortstop of the future, and he can play second. So what Mayer does, that's why Mayer's going nowhere in a trade scenario, because he answers whatever hole you need plugged, whether Bregman wants too much, and you're like, we could just go ahead and roll with him at third, now have more money, and really build up a squad that we want, go get a top line first baseman, maybe go get another horse as like a 1A pitcher. You now really, the team used the flexibility. But there is a question, because I said here over the last couple of weeks, if I'm Breslow, I have zero conversation with Bregman about renegotiating right now. I want to see what you could do getting back here. If you can get the feel goods and we can get the classic Bregmans of July, August, and September's of past, then yeah, we could talk about this maybe in September. And if the price goes up, we expect that. But at the same time, I'm not going to give you your money now and have a depreciating project in front of me that's just consistently going downhill. Thank you, Marcelo Mayo, for that third base you played while he was out. Because now you don't have to worry about if Bregman goes, I don't know if I would be that upset. I really would not be. Just because you know that Mayer could play the position. Gives you more room to go get other, you know, bangers, you know. But at this point, I would say, hey, for what you're paying for Trevor's Story, you get defensive lead. The offense has shown up more. So it's not like he's turned into one of these guys that are, you know, a career 220 hitter as a Gold Glover. It's like Ozzie Smith, you know. I think Ozzie Smith hit 300 one time, and it was towards the end. He figured it out after like 18 years. But many years, bro, Ozzie Smith was 205, 215. It's all about the glove. Well, with Story, you know you're going to get more than that, and you almost say maybe Story stays. But, yeah, I think Mayer and Anthony are untouchable. So Campbell, I can see as somebody, because he's signed, right, and another team could say, this is a guy we're ready to rock with right away, probably as a second baseman.
And he signed long-term to a pretty team-friendly deal, too.
Right. So the good thing for Campbell would be he would never pretty much ever have to worry about being reassigned down to AAA. He's going to be a major league player if he gets dealt in the trade deadline deal. He'll be an immediate call-up. He'll be immediately on that squad. And I think it'd be best for him, too, as well. And that's all saying that, hey, if Bregman does sign, and you still have Story, then Mayer's your second baseman until the Story deal is probably up. So the bullpen is an issue as well. Johan Duran is obviously probably one of the bigger names that are out there. I just think that cost would just be too high in return for Minnesota. But maybe someone like Kyle Finnegan with the Nationals, you just saw, solid, you know, high leverage situations, which is the situations that the Red Sox middle relief has had many problems with. You know, I I never thought I would say at the start of the season, like, if the Red Sox can just figure out how to get to Chapman. I didn't think that would be a sentence. I would almost say that, hey, isn't Chapman probably supposed to get them to whoever they're going to get as the final reliever? So the Sox have been really fortunate in that regard that Chapman has been more than, I mean, I would have loved to have seen, if anybody had put money, Aroldis Chapman, all-star, what that line would be. It'd probably be like 50,000 to one. But now it's like, get it to Chapman, and you have that's part of the answer for the Red Sox. And it's in the middle. Maybe Ryan Helsley, St. Louis, he could solidify. This is another high, leverage situation guy. And that's, again, if you get one of those guys in the bullpen, I still say you have to go get a starting pitcher first. I would say starting pitcher first, high leverage reliever two, then a bat, right? Because I think if you're going to rock with the Toro-Gonzalez combination at first, one of those two is going to get hot, probably low probability that both of them go cold, right? And then it still gives you a chance to address Tristan Casas next year, right? That's the old thing. So I'm kind of coming off of, because at one point I was like, all right, maybe they need to kind of rent a bat at first base, then see what happens next year. But what's happened is Anthony has now become like really, really high prized. Mayer has become high prized. And so now you're like, you can't give up those guys. You're going to live with the log jam in the outfield. You might have to say, you know what? What happens if we need a situation and don't have a Romy Gonzalez to handle that situation? So I even think someone like a Gonzalez is safe. So it'd be very, I think Campbell's name is got to be somewhere on the lips of not only other teams, but also for this franchise. Because if Campbell can continue, if he can be the guy that he was at the start of the season and only have to play one position, I think really his best bet is to play second long term. I mean, he's got a chance to be a Hall of Fame second baseman because there's only 20 of them. So if he can give you pop, give you some speed, the glove is decent. You know, like, you don't need to be, Jose Lean there. But, look it up. But if he can be a quality second baseman there, and you know that Mayer may be at second base here for the Sox, at least for the next 2 years, then, Campbell at AAA for the next 2 years does not benefit neither him nor the team. All right, next we'll get to more of your text comments, plus still to come, Jaylen Brown's comments about, were they really about Boston or were they about the Celtics? That's all next here on the KJ Show, WEE.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now. wherever you get your podcasts.
Guy, thanks so much for hanging out.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Yeah. Uh-huh. KJ Show, WEEI, on the Odyssey app. If you missed it, you can rewind it, play it again and again and again. Just type in WEEI at the Odyssey app, AUDACY. And, of course, you can hear this in real time, no rewind, on the iHeart app. Brian Frazoco, my producer, and I, we were just talking about this right before I came back on the air here. Man, I'm going to always mark this calendar week on the calendar down as the worst week for sports of the entire year. I mean, yes, the All-Star game is the All-Star game. The Home Run Derby is the Home Run Derby. But that's also like in the middle of the week. Like maybe, I don't know, maybe propose like Home Run Derby on Tuesday, All-Star game on Thursday, just to spread it out because, my gosh, you cannot pay me enough money to watch NBA Summer League. Like, you know what they're doing in, on the sneak tip, and you don't even realize it, is they're making you watch G League games. Cooper Flagg has not played in, what, almost 2 weeks? What is the point of watching the NBA Summer League at this point? It's G League. This is why football, like, I can really, sometimes I ask myself, I'm like, man, why is football really king? And I know it's because people are about the, you know, the erosion of baseball and all that and everything and so forth. But it's like some places baseball will never erode. Other places the team was never good. But you look at this week and you're like, gosh, now I can see why people are just going to be so thirsty when practice and camp starts for the Patriots this week and for teams around the league.
It's getting to that point where you're starting to miss those really bad Thursday night football games between just two teams you could care less about. Like right now, I'd watch Giants Panthers right now. Absolutely.
Right, exactly. Tell me you wouldn't take a Thursday night game between Giants and Cleveland right now.
Titans Jaguars.
Titans Jaguars right now. It would pull a higher share than anything. Like, and it really starts with Wimbledon. I'm sorry. Like, I like tennis, but why is Wimbledon is like a month long thing? Like, who would? That is greedy. That is British greediness right there. Like, can we do this over a weekend? Just have them play all day. You've got 48 courts. You know, like, what? It's like in real life. So you mean to tell me I can't use this tennis court because it was reserved for somebody in 3 hours? Hell, man, I'm getting my sets in over here, okay? 617-779-7937. Text line, what you got, Brian?
All right, we have a 207 text. This is in reference to you talking about the Red Sox seemingly collapsing year after year around this time, especially last season. It said, it's like watching a movie that has a bad ending and you keep watching it.
It's like, I think I know what you did last summer. This is really the Red Sox right now. Hey, not only I think I know what you did last summer, we all saw what you did last summer. That's why, like, even if this was a game where this is the rubber match for the Red Sox, you would feel like, okay, out of the All-Star break, this team is coming and fighting. Like, you know, in that first game, if you lose 4-3, you're like, okay, at least they're still in that fighting mode. You figure like that could carry over into last night's game. It did not. I think what makes it a little bit worse for Red Sox fans and Red Sox Nation is it was a national televised game. Look, when I tell you that my dad is not really a baseball guy, he's always supported me because I love, like, I'm the one that really brought baseball to the family. It should probably be part of the national narrative of the American Black family on PBS. KJ, the KJ Show, brought baseball to his family.
I'd watch
they were aggregate folks from North Carolina, but his raising in the Northeast and time in New England brought the joy of the sport to his family. My dad on the phone the other day was just like, oh man, what the Red Sox, they won like 10 in a row? I was like, wow, I didn't know you were on top of it like that, Dad. What happens when you get to national television? Oh, by the way, this team has now just lost 2 in a row. Like, come on, show cause. Yeah, that's the concern. Last year, at going into the All-Star break, they were 10 games above 500. I'm sorry, they were 10 games above 500, finished the remaining season 10 games under 500 to give you your 500 record. This year, going into the break, 8 games over 500, that's now down to 6, but stay tuned. Another text.
If I were the Red Sox and my team got swept in 3 games by the current best team in the MLB, I wouldn't consider that a big issue.
Yeah, like I said, and I did mention that a bit earlier. That's why I say you hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app. Is, okay, if this is going to be a sweep, yes, it's by one of the best teams, but now we're like, okay, can you take two or three from Philly? Can you take two or three from the Dodgers? Because that's what it's going to take to say this team is back on track. You didn't hear me say, okay, now they got a sweep. No, if you get swept today, you've got to win four of your next six games against the Phillies and the Dodgers. Good luck. Now, because what that does is repaint the picture as, okay, this team may be a bit serious. But to sit down and lay down and say, well, if they get swept by the best team in the NL, it's not a big deal. Shoot. You don't think it's a big deal to Tampa that they just got swept by the Red Sox going into the break? Look what's going on in the AL East. Like, this is why you cannot allow these different things to happen. All right, one more text.
I was waiting for this one all day, actually. All day. Uh-oh. We've only been here an hour, but I was expecting this was going to be the first one, but we rolled in eventually. 781 text, KJ, what's your take on cheating Andy at the Coldplay concert?
Wow. Cheating Andy at the Coldplay. It's an international story. I think just came down yesterday. Andy resigned as CEO of the company. I still think there's a bit of a mystery of who was the second woman who was laughing when the HR woman kind of like, you know, bent over to say something to her. So there's a part of me, because there's like these 10 cheat commandments that Andy might have done right on one. But dude, you don't go public slow dancing with someone who's not your chick. Like, you don't do, because it calls for an embrace. In fact, I think of Biggs, because I got a shirt on. I'm thinking of Biggs' 10 crack commandments. Maybe I present to you the 10 cheat commandments. Hit it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Clearly, I'm going to have to pull them out. It's the 10 cheat commandments. Whoa. So, my fellas like Andy, and all you who forget how the game works, I'm putting you up on game. Listen closely. Number one. Always moving numbers that's odd, not even. Two, leave your questions, three's deceiving. Number two, try to have a wingman with you, but watch your back because he'll be the one that snitches on you. Number three, don't have around familiar company. Work is that important that she needs to meet on beat. Number four, don't treat your side piece like a just like Lynn, close your head, that rabbit's at your door. Five, always hit a place that's live, no slow jams. Drinking and dancing, electric slide. Six, coming in at six, you'll never fix. If she meets the kids, your life's going to lose her. Number seven, her name on your phone is Kevin. Perfect alibi of a name after seven is eight. Never stay up too late. Once it gets past one, she's looking for that gun. Number nine, your side pieces, bills, don't pay a dime. Unless it's Xfinity, that one's fine. Number ten, never say it'll happen again. You just admit it, she catches you once, it's times ten. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
That's nasty.
The 10 cheat commandments. The 10 cheat commandments.
Brian, I'm just saying, he broke commandments that you just can't do, bro. Man, you can be out with a chick like that. Make sure it's always fast music playing. Always. Drinks. Do the electric slide. Make it seem like it's a company event. Once you start getting into Coldplay songs, you're hugging somebody. Like, dude, that's how you got caught. You had a Coldplay concert, bro. Take that to Buffalo Wild Wings. Let them play the upbeat music in there. A lot of TVs and everything. Like, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I guess the other part of that is, you never want to laugh at anybody's pain, right? Because the other part of it is there's a family involved and all these different things. Some people are now wondering, like, well, why did he lose his job? You're like, if there's a single stock being exchanged, well, then there would be a lot of places that'd be losing money once they find out. Like, yeah, let's get him outside. You know, another one gone. So, yeah. The 10 cheat commandments. Brian, that makes sense to you, right? Like, these are just some advice. If you're going to cheat, these are some of the things. Like,
well, before today, I didn't know that there was 10 commandments before it, so it's good to, you know.
Yeah, the 10 cheat commandments, right? Like, you don't want to, like, you can't treat her bad, bro. Like, if you're a side piece, like, you got to be careful with that. Like, the movie Fatal Attraction. Remember Glenn Close, like, kills the kid's rabbit, puts it on the back doorstep. You know, that stuff is real, man. Real. Be careful. Be careful.
That's nasty.
KJ Show continues next on WEEI.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. Now, more of the KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
But it was as dominant a clinching victory as you could have, especially against the defending champion, the one that was missing their best player. And now the Knicks can dribble it out. For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Thank you for hanging out with the KJ Show on WEEI. 617-779-7937. That is the last time Jaylen Brown wore Boston on his shoulders in the conference semis against the Knicks. I will get to his comments that are pretty fascinating, and I'll give you a perspective because there are some things I understand that he mentioned in that Boston.com article. Your text, 617-779-7937. What do you have going, Brian?
All right, this is a 508 text saying, never thought I would see a worse case of cheating at Gillette Stadium since Deflategate.
Yeah, but you know what? Even Deflategate, I always made the argument of like, okay, so Indy, you got your ass kicked, and the balls weighed less than they normally did. How come you didn't pick off more passes? I was just wondering, the ball was deflated for the receiver and for you, too. You got waxed like a Brazilian. And that's what's so crazy about it is like, this is, yeah, we always think that, you know, Boston is the hub of civilization and society and everything. And it seems to be the hub of just weird cheating flexes in the office on screen, right? Like, it's at a Coldplay concert, no less, right? You're like, damn, I didn't know Coldplay was still going on tour. Like, this couple is probably, well, I don't want to say this couple, but these two have literally given Coldplay, they've extended their dates by at least 10 or 12 of them. You know, like, I know Gwyneth Paltrow is pretty much happy about that. Wasn't Chris Martin kind of accused of taking the old bite of another apple himself? Wasn't that the case?
That's why he was so quick to recognize it.
That's exactly, yeah. I know it when I see it. One more text, then I'll get to the Jaylen Brown.
207 text. Rafaela is likely done with his hitting streak. Somebody has to take over the spark in the lineup.
Yeah, he can't do it by himself, right? Like, he's the only one you're seeing. Like, it's like in a classroom where, teacher, what's the curve? What's the curve? You know, and he's the one that's like moving up in the classroom rank from like 9 to the 7th spot to the 6th spot. Like, you know, like, if there is a question about what you do with Durant, let's just say someone wants to give you something unbelievable. Like, let's say Pittsburgh returns a phone call about Paul Skeens and Jaren Durant with a mix of other pieces. Look, as much as I think Durant should stay here, like, if it means Paul Skeens coming, fine. And then maybe you're looking at Rafael as a leadoff guy. I like what Anthony has done. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned, like, the reason that Campbell is down at AAA is like they caught up to him after 35 games. Here, it's only been about 18 games, and then Roman Anthony turned it around. So Roman Anthony's struggles on the front end are no longer showing up, where with Campbell, he was completely hot, and then it just went completely cold. So, yeah, Mayer is the one I really want to start seeing just a little more from at this point, because the texter's right. There needs to be some type of pickup, because it just can't be a one guy doing it all. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we also knew that Rafael was going to slow down. I mean, he was like the hottest hitter in the world at the beginning of July before the All-Star break. Like, we sort of knew that this was going to happen. He couldn't continue doing what he was doing for very long.
My concern with Rafaela is that pitchers are going to try and throw him junk to get strike one, right? Like, I understand being aggressive, but like, that's how I play MLB The Show. Like, I've got to go cook dinner or go pick up the kid from school, whatever. I'm swinging at the first pitch, right? Like, I'm not here to work a 2-1 count and then send a guy stealing. Dude's taking off on the first pitch. I'm swinging. We're doing hit and run right away. you can't do that in real baseball. So there needs to be a little more patience on his in his regard. And then probably you need to see more from Abreu. Story, if he can continue to maintain, and plus I think things will kind of turn around. I just think that when these guys tend to go cold, they go really cold. Okay, at Boston.com earlier this week, Noah Dolzell, is that correct?
Dolzell,
that's right. There's no A in the Zell. It's a Dolzell. Had a fascinating sit-down with Jaylen Brown, where Jaylen Brown was just very, very transparent in his thoughts. I'm going to read you the quotes, and then I'm going to kind of get into one aspect I can relate to. The other one, I don't even play for the team, right? So, quote, Jaylen Brown, "It's been a long journey here in Boston. I've had to deal with a lot. I feel like I haven't been able to be myself in certain capacities because of the politics and because maybe people feel uncomfortable with who I am. I disagree with a lot of things. I've had to change roles, styles. I've had to do things other players of my talent just haven't had to do, and I've been okay with them because I've always been a team guy. I feel like sometimes that gets taken for granted." I'm going to work backwards. "I've had to do things that other players of my talent just haven't had to do." You know what this really goes back to? And this is regarding the team. This goes back to the acquisition of Gordon Haywood. And when Gordon Haywood was brought in, you remember Jaylen Brown was the sixth man off of the bench. And at the time, there was this kind of wonderment from those of us who were just observing. Is this kind of a detriment to his growth, and how is it going to take? Because if you had to have me bet on futures at that time, I still would have bet on Jaylen Brown despite what you saw from Gordon Haywood in Utah, right? Like, you do realize that someone from the Utah Jazz is going to be on the All-Star squad very much the same way that somebody from the Miami Marlins is going to be on the All-Star squad in baseball, okay? I'm not saying that Gordon Haywood is that guy, but nothing ever jumped at me and said, Gordon Haywood is really kind of like in the second tier of superstars in the NBA. I'd always say, like, as much as we talk about Christian Laettner on the Dream Team in 92, on a lot of teams that didn't really win much, dude averaged like 18 a season, like for the most part, until you get to the end. Last few years, it brings that average down to like 14 or something like that. So I always saw Haywood in that regard as like, he's always going to be this guy he's going to be the star on a bad team, but he really should be the role player on an emerging or really good team. And I think part of that cost Jaylen Brown's growth, at least for that season. And that was a determination by management. I thought it was a bad decision at the time. Obviously, as time has gone on, things have turned out better. Clearly, there's a championship that's come along. Jaylen Brown has been second team All-NBA, I think at least once, maybe twice. You've got the max deal. So you can clearly say that Jaylen Brown is in the conversation of a second tier star in this league, but also has the story of where they were like, yeah, you're going to come off the bench because we just got this guy over here. So I think that's the genesis of that conversation. I think it's unfair for people to point to saying, well, is it about him playing backseat to Tatum? I don't know if I could necessarily go there, because that's been they've been here virtually together all the same time, minus Brown coming the first year, Tatum coming the next year. Remember, at that time, Marcus Smart is still trying to remind everybody, hey, you know, I'm a lottery pick too. Right. So Tatum and Brown, I've always said, to me, just the energy that I get, those two are always kind of on the same page because they saw a lot of the same things from management and from veteran players in the same place. It's not like it'd be totally different if one of these guys were acquired in a trade and had been brought over, and then one is trying to figure out who's the role of one and who's trying to figure out the role of two. So I don't even think that applies to Jaylen Brown at all. The taken for granted portion, that part I think is a bit odd. And the reason why I say I think that's a bit odd is because, are we talking about his skill set or are we talking about his perception on the team? Now, I think it's by the way the team is coached with Joe Mazzulla. I've been one of those people. I'd be like, look, I know the three is great, and when you make them, it's great, but when you miss them, what happens? What happens? That there's no real mid-range game that's really laid into. And to me, that's Jaylen Brown's strength.
Absolutely. He's not a three-point. I mean, he can shoot the three, but that's not what he wants to do.
Right. Like, if you said, hey, defenses are rotating and Brown is left open for the three, he can hit it. In the running of offense, as soon as you're getting a rebound, I don't want to see Jaylen Brown lined up on the outside waiting to take the three. He's a mid-range guy. And here's where I will agree with him if this is the way he's going with the thoughts. The MVP of the league, how often do you really just shoot? The new MVP of the league, do you really see him as a three-point shooter? Absolutely not. SGA has reintroduced the mid-range game to the NBA, but Jaylen Brown has always had the mid-range game. Now, when it's coming to dribbling in the middle of the paint, there's some things you could work on, maybe some cones or those little glasses where they block your eyes from looking down. But my point being is this. Jaylen Brown's strength, or what may be taken for granted, is his exceptional mid-range game. Now, with Tatum out, this team needs to work its mid-range game. If you're going to tell me that this team out here that you're about to put out there this season, as it's currently constructed, is going to be a three-point shooting machine, I would say just go ahead and fire Joe Mazzulla now. Just do it. So philosophy is the portion about being taken for granted, which I think is, hey, all this three-point shooting is not where his skills best lie. And his best lied skills have not effectively been used. Because I've always said this about the Celtics, at least this current, because I'm not always, but with this incarnation of the team, because it relies on the three so much, you need to be able to have someone who can do it on the inside as well. So even if that's Brown taking his defensive assignment to the rack, if that's got to be your inside game, fine. You need to use it more. The high volume threes, think about it. You never hear say, you live by the dunk, you die by the dunk. Have you ever heard that? No, because it's a high percentage shot.
Live so if it's by like, the dunk, die
you, right, like you've never heard that. But when it comes to this three-point shooting, I'm concerned. And then even with Tatum coming back, what does the lift look like? Does it affect the shot coming off of the Achilles injury? You're really going to have to develop a mid-range game. The NBA champions, who were the best team from day one to the final day, are not a three-point shooting team. Oklahoma City is not dependent on the three. But yet, nobody really came close to even beating them, except for Indy, right? And Indy doesn't do what? Depend on the three. So maybe you don't. I'll tell you what. Let me get to break because I need to be a little more conscious here on the KJ show of my time. Now that management says that I do, but I need to be more conscious of it. I'll pick up my thought about Jaylen Brown with the Celtics and their philosophy. And then I'll get into Jaylen Brown and the comments that he made about politics and Boston. That's next. But right now, we'll trend with Brian Fazuco here on the KJ show.
Listening to The KJ Show with KJ Carson on WEEI.
KJ Show, WEEI, a Sunday delight, a Monday disappearance. 617-779-7937. Let me get to your calls and I'll continue the Jaylen Brown conversation. Remember, if you missed any of the show, the Audacy app is free. Just type in AUDACY at the Google Play Store or iPhone, Apple Store. And then, of course, you can also listen to the show, but you can't rewind WEEI here on the iHeart app. Let's go to Sean calling out in the Mountain Time Zone, getting up early for the KJ Show. This is the dedication I like. Sean, thanks so much for calling the KJ Show. You got some comments on the Red Sox?
Yes, I do. And thank you so much for taking my call. And great job, as always, about the show and about everything about Jaylen Brown and stuff, too. It's been kind of a hard – I know it's been a difficult off season for the Celtics, but I just want to get off topic. But anyway, with the Red Sox, I'm not really that concerned yet. I mean, the purpose of this call is please don't make this like the last few years. Remember every time we would be a red hot team and stuff, and the team started playing well.
Going
and
into
then
the
right
All-Star break, yeah.
The All-Star, well. Yeah, then after the All-Star break, things just were tough. I mean, and I understand this is a critical couple of weeks for them. I mean, honestly, it hasn't started off well against the Cubs. I mean, they should have won the first game. You know, Toro's getting picked off, you know, for that double play when Bregman hit that ball. That was a turning point, which was sad. And then, you know, they lost that. And then yesterday just looked like they didn't even really care. I mean, they got shut out 6-0, but they need to win today. And then, yeah, then they got the Phillies. They got the Dodgers coming up. I mean, this is big. I mean, the Red Sox have to do well these next couple of weeks. I mean, again, we're talking about them being buyers, and that was mentioned a lot, you know, about Craig Breslow wanting to be buyers. I hope that would not be sellers, but please, they need to get going with winning. And I understand, gentlemen, that it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's like right after the All-Star break. And I know things kind of get slow and stuff, but I just don't want it to be a repeat of the last few years, because every time I feel like the last few years they would get hot and stuff, then they would slow down and then they would be out of the pennant race really quickly. So I'm just saying, don't lose games. They need to start winning and start getting back in the routine of what made them do well when they had their hot 10-game winning streak.
All right, Sean, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, that was a bit windy there. We put the fire out? I'm kidding. So the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. This is why there's a little bit of a panic. That's why you're like, okay, Jay, if they get swept, it wouldn't be the worst in the world. Do you realize if they get swept today, win 2 of 3 from the Phillies, win 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, they would go 4-5 over those 9 games. This is why, A, today's important. Today's important because it could be the difference of winning 5 out of 9 games against 3 of the better teams in the NL or finishing below 500 coming off of a 10-game win streak, right? That's why I say the math is in there that you say, this is not good. You've got to get 1 out of 3 today. And then to make up for being swept, if you get swept, you're going to have to win 4 out of 6 just to win 4 out of 9. I know you're saying, like, well, look, there's so many more. That is not a ton of games left, right? The season is more than halfway over. We're almost due for 27 games at a time. I think that comes next week. I think we'll be around game, 105, somewhere around there, something like that. Paulie and Dedham, thanks so much for calling the KJ Show, the best show in America. You're on the air.
Hey, right on, brother. You know, I always get you mixed up with Dukes on the National Syndicated Show at this time. But yeah, that's. I guess you get that nationally syndicated voice.
We all sound and look alike. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, man. You got that national voice. I'll tell you that. But anyway,
but it is time, dude, that someone from Boston go national. I do agree. All these yahoos around the country coming from Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
when is somebody coming from Boston?
You could do it anywhere, brother. You could do it anywhere. But I love you. You know, you're a quality guy. You know what you're talking about and all that stuff. A couple quick things. First on Jaylen Brown, then on the Sox. Jaylen Brown, my heart goes out to that poor kid. They screwed him bad. And not getting the best player by the end of the season last year in the NBA, and they couldn't even bring him to France. Well, they weren't going to Cucamonga. They were going to Paris. And to leave him out broke that poor kid's heart. I don't agree with his politics, but he's a hell of a guy. He's a real good guy. That really disaffected him coming into this year. And he had an off year. And he ended up getting banged up. His head and heart were just not into it. How can you leave him off that Olympic roster and expect that kid to just come out of the gate and do the same things he was doing last year? That was awful. There's a special place in hell for waiting for the people who had anything to do with that situation, okay.
And let's it sounds like you're. It back. Sounds like you're cursing Steve Kerr's firstborn. What are we doing here?
We'll take him out. I hope that gives him a more berth and more room to operate, move, and be a leader of the team, and get his mind away and forget, put it in the rearview mirror what happened to him, you know, in Paris last year. It's just disgraceful.
Hey,
okay,
Paul,
and I say that on a Sunday now.
Wait, make it 20 seconds because I have other calls.
They need a bat. They need a big bat because they've gone cold again. They need a big bat and an Iron Man setup guy. That's what they need in order to have any sort of help. If not, after playing two lousy teams and a third team that was struggling, they have turned again into the Red Flops. So they need a big bat again and an Iron Man setup guy, and I think they'll have a shot.
Paulie, thanks for the call. Good Sunday to you, my man. If you're going to talk about getting a big bat and top, Franchi Cordero is going to be called up. I mean, like, the other thing is, like, you have to wonder what are the Red Sox willing to part with, and what is that value in return coming back? So that's going to be the big question is, are you going to be, because, like, if you want Seth Lugo, well, then that's who you want. Then I'm going to ask for something that you're probably not wanting to give up. I mean, that's just the way negotiation works. Let's go to Brandon in Boston. Brandon, thanks so much for calling. Where in Boston? Because, you know, I don't know if you travel. People are like, oh, I'm from Boston. Then you're like, yeah, where in Boston? You're like, oh, I live in Providence. You're like, you do know that's in another state. But because it's not that far from each other? No, there's levels to this. Where in Boston are you calling from, Brandon?
Well, I am in Boston, but right now I'm in Brookline.
Okay.
I don't actually live in Brookline, but
so you're Boston. So you're like you're like JP adjacent. Yeah.
Born and raised in Boston. You know, grew up in Jamaica Plain and in Roxbury, and now I'm in another disclosure.
You remember the Cuban restaurant that was there for years over in JP off of Y? I think it's gone. Everyone, oh my gosh, those are the best places ever. Okay,
Brandon. I remember anything. I think I know each other. All right, so. The Celtics need to sell tickets, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I want to see this guy get a ring, and I would give him a 3-year deal with a player option in the third. But how about Russell Westbrook? And I'm going to round his numbers to the nearest 10. So he's basically averaging 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists, and a block and a steal. I mean, I could see he's still electric. You know, they need a guy that can defend and give you a little bit of a different dimension because this guy knows how to attack the basket at will. And he's good at playmaking. And like I said, you know, you need to sell tickets. People will go and see this guy perform. He's a future Hall of Famer. You know, and when Tatum gets back, I think, you know, you can get the ball rolling with him. And you can build around, of course, Tatum in Westbrook and get a big man. But I would like to see Russell on this team. How about that, man? They need to sell tickets.
Brandon, thanks for the call as always. Russell Westbrook with the Celtics?
This is culturally inappropriate.
No. I'll get to the Jaylen Brown comments here shortly. If you're going to address anything, you have to address the front court because you have no front court right now. You don't. Brown, White are backcourt guys. Pritchard, like, please do not say that he's going to be moved into the starting role. No. Like, he's still going to be your bench guy. You have nothing in the front court. Nothing until Tatum gets back. And even when he gets back, you still don't have any type of rim protection. I don't know. All right. Corey, oh gosh, he's calling from New York City. Corey, talking Jaylen Brown. Yeah, Corey, what's up?
Yo, KJ.
Yeah.
New to your show. I tell my girls, Alexa, to play the KJ show on Boston Sports Original.
Okay.
And then I tell her to hook me up with some breakfast.
Okay, well, I don't know if you know about this Andy guy, but probably he's cooking breakfast today, so maybe you should be cooking breakfast for your girl from once in a while.
Hey, bro, don't tell me how to handle mine. I mean, you code switch harder than Chad GPT.
Wow.
How are you going to talk smack when you only on for like 10 minutes a week?
Wow, it's 2 hours.
Hey, it's 2 hours.
Oh, what's the question, Corey?
Okay, look. If Jason Tatum is out for the entire year, should the Celtics look at trading Jaylen Brown for a star player?
Corey, thanks for the call. Don't like the little snide remark. Brian, here's my thinking. Halliburton out for the whole year, right?
Right.
Lillard not coming to the Celtics, back to Portland, probably will be allowed to take the whole year. I think they gave him 4 years.
Yeah, he's not playing this season.
He's not playing this year.
No.
So could there potentially be a scenario where Tatum doesn't play this year? And if he doesn't play this year, Do you just use this year as potentially as a resume tape for Jaylen Brown being moved next year?
Well, and that's the problem I had with some of these comments from Jaylen Brown was just the timing of it. Like, this is sort of your team now, dude. I would like to see you sort of embrace that a little bit more. Like, all right, you wanted this to be your show. You wanted to be the guy. Now it's your time to do that. And that's sort of why I had issue with some of the comments. Not necessarily what he said, but just more of the timing of them. Right. But I could definitely see that. Now, what worries me is that the Eastern Conference is just so bad. Like, I just don't really think there's a lot of good teams. I think it's Cleveland. I think it's New York. And then it's a huge drop-off. And I don't really think either of those two teams.
Orlando maybe's in there as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, sure. But none of those teams really feel unbeatable, right? Like, there's none no of them feel Oklahoma,
like the Celtics.
Right. There's no Oklahoma City in the Eastern Conference.
I think
Celtics are the 3 or 4 seed at the end of the regular season, like, are they going to rush Jason Tatum back because they sort of see an opening to make a deep run in the playoffs? Like, that's sort of what concerns me. Trying to rush him back too early because they see a window this year.
No, I don't think they're a 4 seed because a 4 seed says, okay, this is a team that can make anything happen. This roster does not say anything can happen. Are they a 6 seed? Potentially where, okay, they open against the 3 seed and maybe you're like, hey, anything could happen there, but then playing the 2 seed, there may not be enough there.
I just don't think that 1 or 2 seeds is going to be that good this year. Well, you should have beat New York last year. I don't think Cleveland's that good.
If you're playing a 2 seed in the semifinal or even playing a 3 seed in a quarterfinal, I think that puts them up against it. I think there would be kind of like there would be a bit of fan dysfunction if they were a play-in team, right? If they had to play in the play-in tournament.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if they were a 7 seed, which they could be. But again, even though Corey called me a code switcher, as I've always talked this way, just some things are above code, this is kind of a Jaylen Brown tryout tape for potentially a bigger move when Tatum comes back. Because let's just say Brown does very well in this role. He clearly enjoys that role. When you know that when Tatum comes back, it's going to go back to a shared role, and maybe you do want to go somewhere, and maybe these are why these comments to Rachel Dolezal that you make just very openly. If you missed it, according to Boston.com, and I'd read earlier about him saying he had things, you know, he's had to do things that other players of his talent just hasn't had to do, he's had to change roles and styles. I think that's kind of tied to Joe Mazzulla and this 3 ball, and that doesn't match it, and I think that Jaylen Brown is right. If this is where he's going, that his mid-range game is his strong suit, and that's something that the team is missing, is going to need now more than ever, because your best 3-point shooter by volume is going to be out for the bulk of the season. Let's just call it at least December, because I'm sure Tatum has in his mind like, well, I went down around the same time Kobe did with his Achilles, and Kobe came back in December. Bro, don't try and be the hero. When Kobe went down, it was towards the end of the career. You're in the middle of it. Take your time. There's still 10 good years on you. With Kobe, when he came back from his Achilles, he probably had 2 good years left in him. So take your time. I don't want to see him rushed. I don't think anybody wants to. The other part of the comments, and this is what I said I would get to in this break, is he says, this is Jaylen Brown. It's been a long journey here in Boston. I've had to deal with a lot. I feel like I haven't been able to be myself in certain capacities, because of the politics and because people maybe feel uncomfortable with who I am. I mean, you just heard one of the callers say, yeah, I'm not a fan of his politics. I understand where Jaylen Brown is coming from in a sense. Here's why. Brown's from Atlanta. And a person who's really steeped in it, Atlanta, will tell you how important their history is, how it ties to freedom, and how 2 of its biggest figures have strong ties to Boston. Martin Luther King Jr. and Maynard Jackson. Maynard Jackson more so for a modern, like Jackson Hartsfield Airport. That's where the Jackson comes from. Longtime mayor. Was very instrumental behind the scenes of getting the Olympics '96 there. Maynard Jackson to Atlanta is kind of like what John Adams is here. But it's Georgia, and it's understood, it's built in, that freedom isn't exactly the road anybody travels. Anybody who lives in Atlanta will tell you, yeah, this is Atlanta, but the rest of it's Georgia, trust me. Atlanta thrives because of its diversity and expanse to all of its areas. Like, you will find upper middle class of all races living in the same neighborhoods together and not isolated from each other. And it's also the case with the wealthiest people as well. If you don't know it, Google Tyler Perry, Kenny Rogers sewer issue. Trust me. So with Boston, this is where freedom is born for the entire U.S. It's taught everywhere. You know all this stuff. Even when you're a kid, it's even something you learn before even you learn growing up in Atlanta. And so education has been kind of that connective point. If you think about it, Jaylen Brown is not this guy that comes out of a basketball factory. He chose to go to Cal Berkeley. This is a super, super think tank. And he got in beyond basketball, right? So he got in as a student. So this guy's a thinker. This place is for the thinking. So knowing the figures that come before you in Atlanta and then going to Boston, there's going to be a part of you that feels like you can invest in this new area. I'm about freedom for myself, for my people, for culture, for the better things. Whatever you think of Jaylen Brown and his politics, you don't hear Jaylen Brown in blocks, in police blocks. You don't hear about these things. You don't see a guy who puts himself in social situations that potentially not only causes harm to himself, but to the team. So he's not adverse to business until we get into the social media range, right? So here's Jaylen Brown. He announces that he's going to invest millions of dollars in areas of Boston that lack the attention that it deserves. These are positive things. But what people probably just want to see is just him play basketball. And I would say, why would anybody or should anybody be upset if the guy wants to invest, grow, build, connect? Two places that mean a lot to him. Atlanta, where I'm just telling you right now, they can let you know how it has been, where it got to, where it is now. A lot of that is based in education, knowledge. You come to Boston. You're not one of these players who are modern day players like, I don't want to go there because of this or ain't got no nightlife or anything. No, this guy's taking his money and he wants to invest. And because the way some things have played out, whether whoever his representation is, I mean, you know, that's representation. That doesn't mean that's your father, right? You have to kind of take these down a level sometimes. And because of that, I can understand where there is a bit of skittishness of how you say things, when you say things, the things that you do, and the things that you don't do. And so I appreciate the candidness he sat down in his interview and just opened, because you can definitely tell that everything that Jaylen Brown's going through, think about like the 22 NBA finals and that was from the basketball perspective. But think about how it also was when it came 2020 and the trip that he made down to Atlanta to march in a Black Lives Matter protest and how that's let some people feel. I would just say how you feel is how you feel. But the guy is not bringing shame to the city, to the town, to himself. And so for that, you know, there is a part of me that would hope that he would be embraced a little more. Just a little more. All right. Next. Oh, shiitake. Yeah, we look at some of the takes around the country that just make you go, oh, shiitake. What did they just say? Next here on WEEI's KJ Show.
This is the KJ Show with KJ Carson on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
KJ Show, WEEI, winding down. I thank you so much for being here. I feel like I don't know how to explain it other than I appreciate my producers here, Brian, Zach, Jacob, all of you guys do wonderful work. I also have to mention Justin Turpin and Tommy Freeze Pops, who appear on this show as well. For me, it's proud to see how you guys are growing as I continue to stagnate, right? I'm the depreciating value in the EBITDA here, and I'm totally kidding. But to be here this early and to have this much energy, I really try and do it as a service for the producers, right? Because it'd be really easy to just come in here and be like, I'm Tom Baudette, and just kind of, wasting the time. But no, I don't want to do that to you, and I don't want to do that to my producers as well. And so what seems to be absolute madness before 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning seems to be catching some steam. I don't know if it's Steamboat Mickey or Ricky Steamboat, but thank you so much for all of you who are here. And I thank you for checking out the KJ Show. All right, text line 617-779-7937. Brian, what you got?
508 with a text that I do not agree with, but Time Lord back to Boston. That would be nice. The Celtics need a true big.
Ugh.
That's nasty.
Yeah, them knees, boy. Those knees may walk in before he walks in the room. Look, I love Time Lord. I just thought he was just such the spirit of this team. But, the surgery that he had done at his age, I remember doing like the math of it when he was here. It was like, man, there's such a very low percentage of high quality because he's just really rubbed knee on knee earlier. So I love Time Lord, but I don't know about bringing him back here and expecting to get more than 55% of games during the season. All right. One or two more texts, and then we'll get into Oshitake.
Another text. They have zero chance versus Orlando this upcoming season.
It does feel like it, right? It's just like,
yes.
Yeah, they're about to bow down to Orlando. It's not going to, like, yeah, if there's one thing that I would ask, I would wonder of Brad Stevens is, did you try and make a big move and cleared out space and then wasn't able to make the move? Like, was Giannis actually the move you were looking to make? And then Giannis decided, nope, I'm going to kind of try and stick this out a little longer. And now Giannis looking dumb because there's not even any Dame Lillard. One more, or do we go to Oshitake? Brian, your call.
We can squeeze in one more.
All right, one more tip.
One, I think, is just frustrated about the consistency of the Red Sox, and that consistency is being them continuing to kind of fall apart at the All-Star break. He said, what is it about the All-Star break that pops the Red Sox balloon every single season since 2018, with 2021 being the anomaly?
Well, you know what it is because management doesn't spend and get help.
Enough is enough.
What are we doing? So remember, this was high. This is what you know what this is called? And I know no one's calling this. What's happening right now is the Heim Bloom flu. The Heim Bloom flu. This is what, because this is what was going on these last several years when you're like, hey, make a move. Help them out. Make a move. Look, in 21, they made a little bit of a move, but it never addressed the pitching, right? That, like, I always remember because I was like, Evaldi needs help. He can't, can you pitch again tomorrow? So while the Schwarber thing felt good and there was a little bit of a run, you felt like, hey, if there was another arm, you could have had something. All right, before we get to Dan Ball, it is now time for...
Yo, Doodle, man, what you got for me next? What the hell did you just say?
All right, let's start with Stephen A. Smith, and this is his response to how people are coming off on women in sports, especially after Joy Taylor getting released from Fox Sports.
I'm pretty pissed off. Now, there's a few people's names I'm not going to mention because, damn it, they ain't worth it, okay? And I get that. But there's a few men out there that are acting like, this is the perfect excuse to justify why we make the argument that women don't belong in the industry, which is incredibly an incredibly egregious thing to say, okay? They'll look at any woman sitting in a host chair or any woman that's a reporter out there or any woman that has to walk into the locker room, and all of a sudden their credibility is being questioned. My thing, what I'm more appalled at by, rather, even that, is the women all over social media that are allowing it to
happen. Most egregious.
Oh, God.
Trash!
Look, the one thing we know about the human element is, while it's not good for guys to get on women about anything, weight, looks, or anything like that, it's going to be women. And I'm never going to get in between that fight, that's for sure.
Yes.
So if it's women saying it, it's them. All right, next, here's Pat McAfee at the Major League All-Star Game festivities for the Home Run Derby.
With the fattest ass in all of professional sports, ladies and gentlemen, Big Dumper Cal Lowry!
Trash! Trash!
Come on, bro. Get better writers. Maybe that's why I just leave it at that right there. Next, here's Shaquille O'Neal with some words to RG3 about Angel Reese.
RG3, tweet another monkey post about my girl Angel Reese. I'm punching your face. Okay? It's a shame that all the stuff you did in your life, you're going to be remembered for your podcast. You're going to be remembered for your podcast. That should tell you you're not just great. I don't want to be remembered for Shaq's bit podcast. I do not.
Shaq is preaching. And this kind of goes to where we are in the media, and you can pull the music down because it's a great take. Is, you know, what Robert Griffin III did, clearly you're like, hey, bro, the stuff I look at, it should have shown up in my algorithm because I look at everything. It should. Only you brought it up in my algorithm. And Shaq is right. Like, you're going to go down being known for this because clearly it's a chase, right? It's a, you're chasing numbers. And if you're chasing numbers, it means you're chasing money. And if you're chasing money, then you might be out on the stroll. You know what I mean?
That's nasty.
Yes.
Saying RG3. But yeah, like the Angel Reese stuff, I try not to get in the middle of those arguments. If anything, probably the best thing that's happened is Caitlin Clark has missed a bunch of games this year, so that people just can't feed that narrative as they have in the past. But yeah, when you're going at women like that, and you're a man, like, are you really a man? Like, who raised you? And Shaq is saying something that you might start to see happen more often. You get funny with the lips on social media. Oh, people will gladly let you know where they, hey, where are they? I just saw them at Chipotle just 2 minutes ago. Here's the address. that's what we're leading to. I mean, that's what we're heading that way, where people are going to be physically confronted. I mean, God forbid, it's already happened though. I don't know if you saw the video, Brian, where these two guys were beefing on YouTube. Now, here's the, I don't think either one of them had more than like 10,000 viewers or whatever. That stuff is all juiced. On the Vegas Strip, the guy who was just kind of like had an issue with him walked up to the dude, shot him and his wife on the strip and killed him right in front of everybody. I'm trying to tell you, because people don't have good conflict resolution skills as it is. Shh. All right, Dan Ball's next, man. Are you ready for some outro music? I know people are ready. Like, please let KJ get out of here now. Like, can we get him out of here? Can I dance my way out of here? Thank you so much, Brian Furzocco, for being here, for wonderful work you do. Remember, Red Sox, try to avoid the sweep today, 2:20 in Chicago, pregame here at 1:20. Dan Ball is taking you up until then. So have a great Sunday. Talk to you again next Sunday. See ya!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.